We have some people here this morning that are working regularly scheduled jobs. We have people who are here this morning who are retired and are still working. You know, the more I think about retirement, the less I want to do it. You guys seem more busy, and I don't know how you were during your working years, but you're sure busy now. You know, the subject this morning is work. And since we do have different callings and we're in different places in life, we need to understand that the whole Bible is for all of us all the time. And whatever our situation is, because there are some people who can't work, who are incapacitated, they're bedridden, and still, they have a work to do. And what Nancy shared this morning, I think, is very appropriate for the message in Colossians chapter 3. And that is, whatever we can do, do it. And we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Let's pray as we begin. Father, as we come to your word now, we thank you that every jot and tittle was inspired by you, God breathed, and we can take your word and apply it to our lives, because as people who want to please the Lord, every aspect of our lives is important. And so as we approach this subject this morning, we pray that you'd give us understanding, a heart to obey, and a joy in receiving the recompense of our reward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the topic this morning is about work. We've had a lot of interference, though, with the pandemic and the government stepping in, interfering. And the idea of work anymore has taken on a different value, and people view work differently. I think for the most part in our area, people are willing to work, but we have in Boise so many signs out, hiring. We're looking for people to work. Lived in Spokane for a little while and reading want ads and appeals for workers. There was one in particular that would catch my attention. We're looking for 4 people who want to work to replace 4 that didn't want to. Kind of got an idea what was going on there. But the idea of working is something that we need to get a clue from the Word of God of what He intends for us. And the Bible enters that discussion and raises the value of work for the Christian. Work is not something to avoid, but we are to pursue this area of life with an ambition to please God. As we read, you've noticed that the topic concerns slaves, but the lesson applies to us all. And as we begin at verse 22, it talks about slaves or servants. And Christian slaves were part of the church in this city of Colossae. There were slaves that were involved in the church who had come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as their Savior. But this was a harsher existence than we have had as employees. Consider who Paul is writing to, first of all, as this letter went out to them. The slaves didn't have options. Some slaves were prisoners of war. They were captives. And they were captured probably by the Roman army. And then they were distributed as people bought them as slaves. These are captives. They had no opportunity to choose what they would do. And others were slaves because they were bound to clear a debt. They were bound to a master. We would call them an employer, but these were slaves. They didn't have the option to choose the job that they did. If they had a debt to a person, if they couldn't pay that, they indebted themselves to the master in order to pay off the debt. Another situation the slaves had was that they worked without pay. They owned nothing. They had no influence. They were dependent on their master for daily needs, for their basic needs. You feel that way about Patch? I'm no master here. I don't have any influence. Those kinds of jobs, though, when you were an employee, you could recognize that too, couldn't you? Very few times could you walk up to the foreman and say, I think we're doing this all wrong. No, I don't think you'd do that. Whatever he told you to do, this is your assignment for today. And, oh, man, okay, I'll do it. I need the pay. Well, the slaves were working without pay. Their situation was different than ours, and it makes us appreciate what we have in America. Because if we don't like a job, what did you do? You quit. You gave your notice, and you're out of there and on the streets until you find a new job. But you had that opportunity. You could choose. You can go. You can find a good employer. And we have choices of jobs. We have education to meet the needs of the jobs. We have training when we get a job. And we can self-determine our way of life in that respect. So the Christian slaves were part of the church. And you see their situation. And that they needed some encouragement. Something to motivate them to see above just what the master demanded. So they have a command. And it's similar to the command to children. You notice in your Bibles, if you read verse 22, what are the first two words in that verse? Slaves, obey. And you back up to children in verse 20, and what does it say there? Children, obey. There is that position that is required in children and in the employees or the slaves at that time. Obey. Obey the boss. Obey your parents in all things. I'm pointing that out because there is never a reason to break God's law. There's never a reason to break God's law. And so, as a slave, they were told what to do. As children, they're told what to do. But they're never told, obey in spite of what God says. There are times when a person needs to make the choice, I will obey God rather than men. The apostles had to make that choice. They made that declaration. We will obey God rather than men. And when someone is requiring us to do something we know that God disapproves of, then we obey God. There's never a reason to break God's law. I have a lot of questions when I read the Bible. I don't know if you guys do. But a lot of times, reading a passage, why did God say this? And why does he bring up the subject of work? Why does he include the subject of work in the Bible? So it would be passed on generation after generation after generation. Why is God interested in that? Well, there's a couple reasons. The first one is, it's part of God's creation and his purpose. If you have the idea that work was part of the curse, you need to get over it. Adam was given a job to do before sin came into the world. Work is actually a gift from God. Adam, even before, well, who wants to know all the chronology, but before they took the fruit and ate the fruit that made them disobey God, in disobedience to God, they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat that. And they did anyway. And before that happened, God put Adam in the garden. Genesis says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And so work is not something that is a result of, okay, this is a punishment for you. No. This is what we're created to do. We have, in America here, we have a choice of the kind of work we'll do. But work in and of itself is something that God initiated, He instituted at the very beginning. Why does God include the subject of worth? Because having and keeping a job is important in this age. And the Bible gives us reasons to work. First of all, you will not be dependent on anyone. You won't be needing help because you won't work. That's the situation we have now, isn't it? That people are living off the government for as long as they can. There are some reasons to do that are legitimate to receive help. But when we're healthy, we're strong enough, I'm going to assume we're bright enough to carry a job, to hold a job, so that we won't be dependent on somebody else. God doesn't want His people, the Bible tells us this, you will not be dependent on someone else. And you will have something to share with those in need. You remember in the book of Philippians, it's all about others, isn't it? And being able to help them. If you have work, you're able to have some income, you're able to share and help other people out. So work is to be a blessing, not a burden. Okay. I retired at 62. Someone else says, I retired at 65. Someone else says, I retired at 70 or 71. Did you stop working? I've heard stories of people who just stopped working and decided not to do anything. And their lifespan after retirement was very short. Instead, I believe serving the Lord in retirement blesses others and glorifies God. Because the verse in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 doesn't end at retirement. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus' words, let men see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So there is a command that obedience, hardworking people are going to be a blessing. And there is a motivation that produces good work and pleases the Lord. The negative is presented first. Bond servants or slaves, obey in all things your masters on this earth, not with eye service, as men pleasers. You may have worked with someone who fiddled around until someone said, boss is coming. Boy, they hustle into action right away. Did I tell you this story? It's kind of an embarrassing one, but I had a very boring job. My first logging job was waiting for trucks to come to load, so that we could load them. And I was a a chaser. Hardly ever any logs come into this place. And so one early afternoon, the sun was shining. We're up on Mount Adams, north of the Columbia River in Washington. And the sun was shining. Nothing was happening. Even the guys in the equipment had their hats pulled down over their eyes and kicked back in their chairs and their machinery. I went up on the hillside and I laid down in some trillium and some leaves and everything. Man, I fell asleep. And all of a sudden the horn honked on the loader and the guys were yelling, "Boss is coming!" And I took off down the hill, huge leaps. And about halfway down the hill, I heard this laughing. That I was the brunt of the joke. We were all asleep, but honk, the boss is coming, and we're going to be in action, boy. You know, some people, that was kind of out of character, but the temptation was there every day. But there are some people who have that as a way of life, of do as little as you can until the boss comes. That's what he means by the men pleasers. I'm going to work hard as long as the boss is around to see me. A motivation that produces good works instead of just pleasing the boss. There's a positive motivation that is evident in the quality of the work. And he gives some good instruction here. The don't serve with eye service as men pleasers, but the next thing it says is be sincere in your heart. In sincerity of heart, having reverence for God or fearing God. So what's the positive motivation? Having a sincere heart that wants to honor the Lord above all things. Because he sees. And the second thing is, in the next verse, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Work at it with all your heart to serve the Lord. Some of you, I'd like to know, how many of you picked strawberries as a young person? Yeah, quite a few of us. You have strawberry stains on your fingers. You know the strawberry pickers. After school's out and the bus comes and picks up the pickers and takes them out to the fields. And not everybody wants to pick strawberries, but mom and dad said, "I want you to pick strawberries." And so they get on the bus. And early in the morning, as you're picking strawberries, the sun is just coming up and it's cool and it's okay to pick berries, but after a couple hours it gets boring and so you start throwing strawberries and you're supposed to make so much money during these couple weeks, 3 weeks or whatever of strawberry picking, and so you realize I've got to get a lot of strawberries picked, and we're only supposed to pick the red ones. And you twist off the cap. Did you have to do that? Maybe that was for the cannery. We had to twist off the caps and put them in the hallux. 60 cents a flat we were paid. And so you had to accumulate a lot of flats of strawberries during the day. And in order to do that, there were some kids that would either put little rocks or green strawberries in the bottom of the hallux. And because the supervisors are so dumb, they don't even recognize that someone might be cheating. Or so they thought, because they would turn over a couple of those hallocks. How did you get done so fast, huh? Oh, you have rocks in the bottom of your strawberries. They didn't show up the next day for some reason. But the boss that owned the strawberry field had his eye out. And there were some kids that were approached that he said had ambition. You're staying with it. You're not getting caught up in the strawberry throwing. You're not putting things in the basket, in the hallock, in order to accumulate money that you didn't really earn. You didn't put the proper strawberries in there. And I think a number of the kids that he would approach were Christian kids. They were the ones that were doing this knowing the Lord sees. I don't want to gain a reputation for taking shortcuts. And he approached them, and some of those went on to work full-time that summer for the strawberry boss. He owned an orchard also. Tom Samogi. Guess what nationality he was? He was Japanese. But there were a number of those in Hood River. And he was looking for ambitious people. That's what this positive motivation gives evidence of, that quality. Sincerity of heart, a reverence for the Lord, work at it with all your heart, do it to serve the Lord. We have an illustration in the Bible of a person who did that. His name was Joseph. Joseph, the son of Jacob. And you know the story. I don't want to go through the whole story. But if you want to read about it and follow it clear through, Genesis chapter 39 through 41. But he was sold as a slave by his brothers. And he was put in charge of all that his master owned. He was sold to Potiphar, and he was the captain of Pharaoh's guard, and captain of the guard in Egypt. And when he served in that capacity as a slave to Potiphar, he had control of the whole house. Potiphar saw, he's an upstanding young man, I can trust him. And his wife, Potiphar's wife, the boss's wife, tried to seduce him. And because he was living before the Lord, reverence for the Lord, he said no, 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 no. And as a slave under God, he was victorious over temptation. He put God first. Well, because he crossed Potiphar's wife, she got cross with him and made a false accusation against him that landed him in prison. But the head of the prison saw that Joseph was responsible in all that he did, and he gave him authority in the prison. And he was faithful there. Later in his life, after a couple years in prison, he became known to Pharaoh as a wise slave and interpreted Pharaoh's dream for him. And you know the end of the story, don't you? What happened to Joseph? How did he end up? He was a slave. What happened to him? He was elevated, wasn't he? He became the prime minister of Egypt. Pharaoh had a dream that Joseph interpreted about a famine that would be coming. Joseph counseled Pharaoh, put a wise person in charge of all the food supply and store it up for the years of famine. And Pharaoh said, who do I have in my kingdom that's as wise as you are? You be the one to take into the savings accounts all of the crops, and then you disperse them wisely. The positive motivation that is evident in the quality of the work is because a person lives under the authority of God. Reverence for God. And that's how Joseph lived. And he was appointed the prime minister of Egypt. The Bible tells us, too, that there is an outcome of good work that is not immediately experienced. Verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord, whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. You will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. That's something that we don't see immediately. There's always some kind of hope, something future when we serve the Lord. We might be given a really terrible job. It's our source of income. We're going to work at it. It's a drudgery. And yet God says, do it faithfully. Do it with all your heart. Because there is a reward. I'm keeping track of things. Some of you have had terrible jobs. We know of a fella who was at his first job. Richard's first job was had to do with bolts. Was he dipping bolts in some oil to preserve them, keep them from rusting, and packaging them? Some terrible jobs. How It's Made has some terrible jobs on there of people screwing on caps on bottles and jars. I would like 8 hours of that. I have really strong fingers. But there's a reward. There's an inheritance, no matter what the job is, no matter how dirty the job is. And the Bible tells us if we serve with Christ, if we suffer with Christ, we become joint heirs with Christ. And how glorious is heaven? How much of a treasure is the inheritance that God will give each of us as we serve the Lord? But the Bible goes on and says that masters are to give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. And we're in a position now that we might be hiring people. We might be hiring young people and give them what is right and fair. Don't take advantage of those that we would hire. I've done a little bit of that in landscaping, in moving things around or putting railroad ties in or whatever it might be. Can't do it by myself and hire a young person. But they will have an idea of what my God is like, what your God is like, by how we treat them and if we pay them accordingly. What's fair? Give them what is fair and just. There's going to be an accountability in God's court, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Your action will be scrutinized. Were you fair, giving it what is due? Eternity is far more important than earthly reputation or wealth. What is the work that you are to do? Where are you right now? Are you able to do things? Are you able to do some work? It depends on what our definition of work is. Whatever God has given you to do. I just have three things here. That we might not, first of all, right off the bat, consider a work for us to do. But this is under the term work for us. We can pray. Does that work? The Bible calls it a struggle in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1, or a great conflict, a struggle. And it's hard work. To really bear down and intercede for other people. It can be a work for the Lord. We're interceding on behalf of someone else. We're praying for their needs. Service in the church or community can be a work that God calls us to do. And do it for the Lord. Serve in the church. serving the community and doing things that other people acknowledge. And that's one of those works that people may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. This is the one that is probably we're called most consistently to. It's spelled L-O-V-E. A work of love. Love people in the community. Love your neighbors as yourselves. Making sure the love meter on people in our home is topped out. Love. Accomplish that work. One of the greatest joys I've had with people that are hurting and in the hospital and visiting or nursing homes and visiting people that are laid up that way is when they ask, what's going on in the church? Who can I pray for? Wow. They have a work to do. That's what God has called them to do. Evaluate your own life. What is it that God has given you to do? And it may be something you really enjoy, but we can do it under the authority of God to please Him, that benefits others. And as Christians serve God in their work, God is pleased and will reward their efforts. So the work to please God, for each of us it's going to be different. But I'd encourage you to search it out. In a life that we dedicate to God, Lord, I want to please you with my life. I want to honor you with my life. There's not an area that God leaves out. And work is one of them. May He bless you in your labor, in your work. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to serve you. And I thank you that as we trust you, you bring about results that we may not see in this lifetime, but when we're with you, we will know that what you've done with our lives has been a beautiful thing and worthwhile. So I pray for your blessing on each one here today. And as we consider the Bible and our approach to it, encourage our hearts. Give us the strength, the wisdom to fulfill what your purpose would be for us. In Jesus' name, amen.